Father, I pray for Lisa now and for Paul and for David. And I just pray that as they bring your word to us this morning, that you would bless them, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would just, that they would hear you and just speak those things into our lives that you want us to hear this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. I'm a bit nervous about this, so please bear with me. This is my testimony about my journey to my current job. I've not been there very long, so it's more about the journey that's got me to that point, really. And I just want to say that I'm not a thrill seeker. I don't seek change. I like to be in my comfort zone, so this has been quite a big journey for me, really. So the past few years have been a bit of a roller coaster, and God has really guided me through that. I felt his hand just opening and closing doors as and when, and he's put godly people around me that have prayed and advised and just helped me make decisions that I've needed to make. And through that time, he's revealed more of himself to me, and he's made me understand that he loves me in the light of him. It's not about me doing things to make him love me. He loves me for who I am. And Psalm 139 has been with me through all this journey, but particularly the first six verses I thought were relevant for this. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I don't understand how he knows me and loves me so well, but I feel he does. So for the past 20 years, I've worked in early years, working with children under five, mostly. For 10 years of that time, I was a preschool supervisor. I was quite comfortable in that role and did it reasonably well, I think. A few years ago, the government decided that all people working in early years should, or all leaders in early years should hold a degree. So it was upon me to set out on a journey of doing an early years degree. During the course of that time, the government changed their mind and people didn't need to have degrees. So, but I carried on. I thought, well, you know, God's helped me get this far. It'd be silly to waste what he's done. So last year I passed my degree and I got my maths GCSE, which meant that although I didn't need it for the job I was in, God had equipped me to look for new work. I'd felt for a while that he was pushing me out of my comfort zone. And so I started to apply for new jobs, just look around, see what was there, push on doors and see what was open for me. God offered me two jobs. So I had to make a choice again. One was more of the same, but it would have meant I was financially more secure, but it wouldn't have really challenged me. The other job was longer hours, earlier mornings, more driving, completely different role, but potentially more rewarding, and I felt that that's where God wanted me to be. So, now I work for Action for Children. I work in Holsworthy in Torrington, so I do a lot of travelling. The main part of my role is visiting early year settings around those areas. So I've got about 30 settings that I visit on a regular basis. I try and meet them on a termly basis, just letting them know a bit about Action for Children, what we can do to support their families. I'm involved in universal services, so that's things like running creches and stay-in-place sessions. I do music once a week with some children and things like that. And I'm also getting a bit more involved in family support, and that's quite a challenging thing for me. That's going into people's homes and probing a little bit, which I find quite difficult and I feel is quite intrusive. But I think, that if we can help support families to help children reach their full potential, then I think that's worthwhile. So throughout this journey, God has put Christians around me to give me counsel, pray for me, give me advice. I've had brilliant brothers and sisters at Croyd, where I was before, who really supported me through my degree, and people here that have given me timely words that they probably don't realise were God-given, but at the time meant a lot to me. When I enrolled at college, Lee was the first person I met, so that's pretty good. And now I've got some work colleagues who are Christians, and I've come across families that I've been working with who are Christians as well. So that's been, it's brilliant just to know that there are Christians around me. I've been overwhelmed and overjoyed in the last few months. I'm still on a roller coaster. I've often questioned, what have I done? Why have I done it? But I'm getting a bit more confident in social situations. I enjoy driving now, which is more than I ever thought I would. I've got to see some beautiful places that God's created around our fantastic Devon countryside. And I don't know what God's going to do with me in this role. I don't know how long it's for. I don't know what he's preparing me for. But I know he knows, and that when I trust in him, that you know, all things work out for the good, so for his good. So the journey hasn't always been easy, but I know that God, he loves us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He has a plan for us, and he wants us to trust in him. And I don't know whether it's linked or not, but I've been really blessed over the last few months with two of my children coming back to God in a really meaningful way. And that's just been amazing for me. So, yeah, I think that's as much as I can do.
You can stay if you like. Stay. I've actually changed my plan. Well, I think the Holy Spirit is. I think it would be good to actually pray for these groups of people as they've spoken. So if you, if you're involved in early years, and I think that includes anybody that's involved in our Monday morning toddler group as well, it would be good if you could stand. If you're involved in education in any way at all about caring for children and in encouraging them in their education in any way at all, it's not necessarily teaching, but it does include you if you are a teacher, then please stand. So it'd be good to stand now. And Shirley, would you mind praying for these people, as it was a previous role in your life? Maybe still is.
Thank you.
So please stand.
Brilliant. With those around, just lay, you know, yeah, put out your hands towards those people, or just lay hands on them. Thank you. So let's pray. Father God, we really thank you that all our skills and talents come from you, and that you give us work to do that uses those talents and is for the good of others. And we thank you, Lord, for all the work that all these people do who are standing to bring flourishing and help to young people. And we pray for them now. We pray that you'll bless them in their work, that they will know that their work has been given by you, that you will encourage them to step out of comfort zones, to be bold, to be, and to know that they are lights in their place of work. And so we pray even for conversations about faith in those workplaces where that's possible and appropriate. And yeah, we just really pray that you will prosper the work of these hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Those words, roller coaster, and have I done the right thing, really resonate with me as well. But come, Paul.
Morning. Excuse me, reading. I'm a little bit nervous. I think this is probably the second time that I've stood in front of a church to say something. It's a lot harder than standing with my bass, which I find very easy to do. I'm the third generation of printer in my family, and I grew up knowing that that was what I was going to be. I trained and qualified as a machine printer, and I've been working in all areas of the family business for just over 30 years. Approximately half of this was as an employee and half as a joint owner. As with most businesses, what we offer has evolved and includes now web creation and supply of office products. Trying to keep up with IT and all of its associated issues keeps me on a steep learning curve. The business was never set up back in the early 60s to be run particularly as a money-making machine. It was more a means to make a living and give good, reliable employment to all of those involved. That's a bit of a background in a nutshell. About 4.5 years ago, we hit a particularly difficult time financially, and we had to look very seriously at what the future, if any, there was for the business. The three family members directly involved prayed both together and separately about the direction we should take. And I know that Rachel had many evenings and weekends of me being very much down in the dumps. She was, as she is now, a real rock. Together we had to consider the possibility that the business wouldn't make it, our staff would lose their jobs, and that we would lose the dream home that God very powerfully gave us back in September 2005. That was the other time I stood in front of a church testifying to how great God is. That's another story. But in amongst this darkness was the deep down knowledge that God is good. He's generous and he's faithful. Neither Rachel nor I have gone a day in our lives when God has not provided everything we need. How weak was my faith? God was not going to turn his back on us. Yes, we might lose our home, but actually, even if we did, that was okay because it was part of his plan for our lives. And God's plans for us are good. We had a peace in the midst of all of that. I was learning some things about God and business and money. About 3 months after this, God miraculously pulled us out of this difficulty with something near a year's profit in a month. It was staggering. We weren't completely out of difficulty, but it was a massive step forward. Since that time, God has truly blessed us as a business, and we continue to operate, and it is for him that we operate. So what's different? What's God shown me, and where has his word been? I can remember many years ago a former pastor preaching about sleep. And as I remember it, it was about how we value our sleep and need it. But what if God asked us to get up and pray for 2 hours every night, and we don't think we can manage without that sleep? If that's what God wants, he can give us 8 hours rest out of 6 hours sleep. God wants me to do the job that I do and run the business that I run. Yes, it needs money, a harsh reality of life. But for God, money's nothing like the mountain it is for us. He can and does provide the money that it needs to run because he's put me there, and at the moment he still wants me there. It's changed my attitude, and almost without fail now, I pray each month that he will provide what he knows the business needs rather than the constant more that society tells us we need. We're halfway now. I need to be living as he wants me to be, and for that I need to be changed by him from what I was and am today, steadily towards what he's designed me to be. So many times over recent months I've been reminded that this happens only as I spend time with God, both talking to him and listening to him as I read the Bible. I've spent a lot of my life struggling with the Bible, desperate for the words to jump out in front of me and feeling disappointed when this doesn't happen. More recently I've experienced this happening more, although it's more regularly something gentle than earth-shattering. I was hugely encouraged the other week when I was reminded here that God can speak in 1,000 ways from the same passage. His word covers anything and everything that will happen in my life. And that 1,000 ways, it's the same as the 7 times Peter had to forgive. In other words, God can speak to us in infinite ways from every part of his word. Since Shirley asked me to do this a few weeks ago, various thoughts have come to mind as I prayed about what God would like me to say. The fruit of the Spirit that kept coming back to me was confirmed as Andrew talked last week. Each day as I go to work, what am I like? How do I treat people? Am I characterized by the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Of myself, I don't fare very well. Trying, whilst important, doesn't do it. That's the whole point. I can't on my own. It's about my heart being transformed a little bit more each day as I spend time with God. That's what's important. My prayer each day is that God will use me in the role that he has given to be the person he wants, that his purposes will be achieved. There are too many passages of the Bible that are precious to me to detail all here. But here are a couple that are very precious, and one of them particularly back at that difficult time. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? This was a particular comfort in our difficult times, reassuring that God had hold of us and would provide. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I've worried for most of my life, and apart from the regular occasions my memory lets me down, this is committed to memory, and is both a comfort and a reminder that God says, do not. In my reading on Tuesday, the writer said the following: when we are immersed in the Word of God, it will be a life raft for us to cling to, and through it God will hold us steady. Do I read and absorb enough of the Bible for it to be in me, shaping my thoughts, actions, and reactions, there in times of trouble, to show me the way ahead? This was another prompt that if I want God to be changing me and constantly leading me, I need to be reading and praying every day. This is an ongoing quest for me. In all of this, in every good thing and every difficult thing, the glory is God's. He's always there, always loving. He never fails.
It's not only great to hear someone's testimony and some great stuff there from Paul about reading God's word, but it's great to hear that people are actually listening to the sermons, both last week and the week before, Marilyn. That's really good. That's really encouraging, actually. So all those people in business of any description, if you'd like to stand, we want to pray for you as well. So if you have your own business or you're involved in business, then please stand up. And again, just as Shirley said, just those around them, just put your hands on these people and pray God's blessing. You come a bit closer to me, Paul, I'll put my hand on you. Bless you. Father God, I thank you for each one of these people standing. I just pray for their businesses, whether they're their own businesses or they work for other people. Lord, I pray your blessing on them, that because of these people that know and love you, that you would make these businesses fruitful. Not in a riches way, but in a blessing way, Father. That these businesses would bless people in the communities that they serve, that they would bless the people that are employed in these businesses. And as Paul said, I pray for these dear people. I pray that they would show the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, that they would be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Huge attributes that we don't often see in business, in the business world, almost counterproductive to being in business, but not in your kingdom. Your kingdom is different, Father. And so, Father, I pray that these dear people would express that fruit in their lives and be a blessing in their communities. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So Dave's now going to come and speak.
So with God's help, in 2006, I qualified as a physiotherapist from Keele University. I just want to start talking about how I ended up there and how God's plans were clearly far better than my own. When it came to picking my final choice university, Dave's plan was I was going to go to Sheffield. partly because I knew lots of people going there, but also the grades to get in were a little bit lower. So I didn't even bother putting, I almost didn't bother putting Kiel down, but Mum being all-knowing, as well as God being all-knowing, suggested that it might still be a good idea, as you never know what might happen. On results day, it turned out that I was a handful of marks short in biology, and this meant that I was rejected from Sheffield. I thought the dream was over, but luckily enough, it turned out Kiel was still happy to have me. Looking back, this ended up being the best place for me to study, and God knew it. It was a great place to train. I had an amazing time, met some brilliant people, which included a really nice girl from Devon called Louise. But that's another story. Yeah, no, there isn't there. It was almost when she started speaking, I was like, God's saying a lot of the same stuff here, but it's all good. But being honest, when I first started at Kiel, I drifted away from God. But again, he quickly found putting the right people in the right place at the right time to help bring me back to him. My experiences at Kiel, they brought me so much closer to God, and I was just so much deeper rooted in my faith. And one of the main verses that he spoke to me at this time was from Proverbs 3:5-6, and that was, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." This became then quite relevant for the next part, trying to get a job. The year I qualified, there were 2,500 physios going for about 500 jobs across the country. So trying to get hold of one was pretty tricky. And so I ended up moving back home to Newcastle. I worked in a nursing home as a care assistant. It almost got to a year from when I qualified, and I was beginning to think that actually it didn't happen. It wasn't going to happen, but again, God provided. And again, to cut another story short, I ended up starting my career in Cambridge. This, again, was the perfect place, and it paved the way for us moving to Devon 6 years ago. In the first couple of years in Cambridge, there was an awful lot to learn. I've still got loads to learn now. But by trying to focus on doing the right things in the right order, I often forgot to bring God in with me through the front doors. There's a lot of listening involved in being a physio, and although people are coming with often very physical symptoms, actually a lot of it's driven by different battles going on in their lives, and this could often be a lot to take on emotionally. Again, I was a little bit slow on the uptake, but when I finally realised that I should invite God in, I was soon to become even more effective. Although not everyone that I see is fixable, praying over these interactions and their situations alongside my normal treatment has provided some amazing and wonderful results over the years. However, I'm not perfect, and in the busyness of the day, it's quite easy to forget. And I've often at times reverted back trying to power through under my own strength, no more so than the start of this year. It got absolutely ridiculous in terms of just like, and I guess in a lot of jobs, there's increasing pressure to do more for less. I was working late. I was just struggling to fit everyone in, and I was generally getting quite tired. And when I was writing this, Louise even said I was a little bit grumpy. But around Easter time, God reminded me through Psalm 27:7 that he is my strength and shield. If I trust in him with my whole heart, he will help me, and he filled my heart with joy. I'd made the same mistake again. And so since then, I'm just as busy. If not even more so, but just remembering to include him in everything has definitely made me be able to manage people and manage myself in a much better way. Part of my job's moving around various sites in North Devon. I've been able to work with several colleagues. I think it's become clear that God's put me in these places for reasons, and by working alongside these people and sharing in the everyday ups and downs of life, I've been regularly able to show and share his love with them. And so just to finish, as many of you are aware, there's currently a lot of change happening within the NHS and a lot of our public services, but prayer's definitely very much needed for its patients, the decision makers both locally and nationally, along with all the staff, those on the front line, those working out the back that you never see, that hold us all together and get us going in the right direction, but also those involved in research, because without them, that's what's driving forward and just helping to make the service an even better thing. Thank you very much.
So anybody that is in the sort of care sort of scenario, whether it's the NHS, whether it's private, whether it's, so it'd be great for people to stand for that. And I'm one of those, so Shirley, again, if you wouldn't mind praying, I'm standing.
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of compassion, that you are love. And we thank you for each one standing here and for what they do and the job that they do in showing your love, your tenderness, your kindness, your compassion. And we thank you that Dave has just been reminded over and again that actually you are Lord and he needs you in this work to do it well and to do it with joy. And so we pray for each one that they will each remember just to bring you in. And that goes for all of us, Lord, in all that we do, that we will make you the Lord each day as we start a new day and working for you. We pray, Lord, that for patience and for kindness and in times of tiredness and fatigue, that you will provide supernaturally what is not there naturally. And that there'll be many testimonies this time next year of how you have undertaken and we've seen your glory and your provision and your healing in people. And so we just commit these people to you and pray your blessing on them and on their families too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And actually, Julie's going to now just come and share a little bit. She feels that God's been speaking to her as these testimonies have been shared. So Julie's just going to share a little bit before we...
Yeah, this is a bit impromptu. I just felt a nudge that it was right just to share, because when I look back, it's just so amazing how God's brought me to where I am now, and I just wanted to share that. Now, some of you know my background's in teaching, and when I was pregnant with Josie, we decided that I would stop that and be a stay-at-home mum. So I did that for throughout Josie and Jacob's when they were children. But when Jacob was about to start school, I started to look into the return to teaching course. And I even spoke to my friend about childcare, because I'd need a bit of childcare. So on the day that I did those things, I went home, read a passage from James in the Message. And the first verse was, "Don't hurry to become a teacher, my friend." So I was like, okay. Couldn't be clearer, really, could it? Sometimes God's vague, not in this case. So I didn't. And not long after that, Terry said, "Oh, let's have another one." So then Rebecca came along, and that was it. But throughout the time when Rebecca was a toddler, I thought, what am I going to do? Because I really wanted to go back to teaching then. But since then, I had no desire to go back into that profession. I'd seen how it changed. And I was like, what am I going to do? And so every time that thought came, I thought, no. So I just prayed that God would provide the right thing at the right time and just try to let it go. And that went on for a while. And then about 4 months before Rebecca started, I thought, what can I do? Can I work for Citizens Advice? Because I did a maths degree, so numbers are my thing. And I thought about that. And then I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll do some voluntary work. I thought, I'll help Rachel in the office. And so I'd spoken to Rachel before and I said, love to, come September. Come and help you in the office. And she said, yeah, that would be great. And then a few days later, I had a dream. It was very bizarre. I was involved in toddlers, and I had a dream about trying to get hold of some office keys. Didn't think anything of it because I dream quite a lot anyway. Day after, Sunday, in the news sheet, there was an advert to help Jerry with the finances in the office. And reading the job description, it could have been handwritten. As I say, numbers are my thing. It was being in the office, which I'd already said I was going to do. So I applied and got the job. And then, obviously, the role expanded, and I took on some of the admin. And then Rachel said that she was going to be moving on to other things. And at that time, it was like, oh, my goodness me. I'm happy to be a number two. Not sure about a number one. So I knew I needed to really listen to God's guidance on that. And the verse that kept coming back to me throughout all of this time was being born and put in this place for such a time as this. And I felt very clearly that God had said to step up to the role. And I needed to know it was from him because it needed to be in his strength. And this is where I am now. And I believe God's given me the skills to do my job, but it would be very easy to do them in my strength. And I realise that if I don't pray, I make mistakes. And I've got to bring God into it to be the best that I can be in the role that he's given me. And just being mindful of that all the time. But every time I drive in those gates or come in those gates, I am so thankful that he has given me what I consider for me right now the best job in the world. And serving this church in this place, there's no other place I'd rather be. So thank you, God, very much for the journey. Thank you.